Well, this morning, if you've looked in your bulletin, you'll see that I had kind of titled my message this morning, Let's Talk. And it was kind of interesting because as you know, or if you've ever been in this place before, Betty very quickly, once she finds out you're the one delivering the message, she wants to know the title. And of course, 90% of the time, if there's Guy, myself, or Mark, I don't know. Well, God had been putting this message on my heart this week for quite some time, and so I knew what I wanted to talk on. So Monday morning, I had to go see Betty because of Linda's services and a few other things. So she says, by the way, while you're here, she says, what's the title for your message? And I kind of looked at her and I says, let's talk. She says, all right, about what? No, Betty, that is our title for this week's message, is Let's Talk. That'll work. So having a little fun with that, then Tuesday night, Dustin wants to know, what's the title of your message so that I can work the songs in around them? I says, Let's Talk. He looks at his watch. Well, I don't have a whole lot of time, but okay. So anyway, I've had quite a bit of fun with this. But before we start this morning, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for this opportunity that we can come here to be with you, Father. And I just pray that as we talk this morning, Father, and as we look at what you have to lead us through, I just pray that you would be with us, that you would just guide and you would direct. And Father, that you would just help us to understand where you're at in this message. So Father, I just ask that you would guide, that your words would be heard, and we'd just be able to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning I brought up and set my notes up, and my wife, very dutifully, I had taken them out of a folder, so as I came down over here to sit, because while you guys were standing, I was sitting, because I knew when I was standing, you were going to be sitting. That's only fair. So she holds up the folder, and I says, no, they're up there. What I neglected to tell her was, honey, you also have my Bible, and I forgot to take it up there. So, thank you. It's not that we're going to be so much into the Bible this morning. It's just that I kind of feel uncomfortable not having it beside me. So as we begin this morning, let me ask you a question. How important is it for us to talk to one another? I don't mean just saying hi. I don't mean just saying how are you, how you doing. How important is it to really talk? You know, all of these are really good conversation starters. As a matter of fact, as I was sitting back there going this morning to Guy, and him saying, I don't understand what this is, because he's left-handed, see, and I'm right-handed, I'm saying, I thought you were going to ask these people to welcome each other. And he says, nah, we did that at the door. But normally, when we welcome each other, what kind of questions do we ask? We ask, how are you doing? How's it been? How's it going for you? And we get these real neat answers. Fine, good, okay. And that's about as far as it goes, isn't it? When we start these conversations, are we really interested, and do we really take the time to listen to those answers that we get? And do we give true, honest responses when we answer them? I think many times we don't. So I'm going to ask you this other question. What does it really mean to talk to a person? Does it mean we should be out there pouring out all of our sins and all of our woes and all of our crises to him all at the first time we ever met him? Not necessarily. Does it also mean that we need to hear all of their woes, crises, and troubles all at one time, the first time we ever met them? No, not necessarily. But could we perhaps start the conversation a different way? How can I pray for you this week? Can I help you with any of your new projects or anything that's going on out there? Hey, if you need any help, give me a call. Here's my phone number. You see the difference? It means we have to create a relationship. It means we have to look through Christ's love and really care for his people. A better question might be, why don't we give the time to just listen? Why don't we take the time to tell others what is going on in our lives? You may have heard and be aware of the fact that there are a certain group of people here within the church that are going through a study, and I will say a long study. And the title of that study is Relational Elders Training, or RET as we call it for short. But this study actually is tied closer to the relational. The elders is thrown in there, but the relational is what this study really is tied to. And I know this study is going to be going on again, and I really do encourage some of you guys to go through it because it's really been uplifting for me. And I think if you would ask any of the others that have gone there, it's also been uplifting to them. It's really been a large portion, a study of the stresses and the need for building interactive relationships with each other as believers. The word relationship means what? It implies a kinsmanship. It implies a connection, a bond, an association, a link of some kind with another person. Relationship then actually means we need to learn to trust, doesn't it? Because trust in one another shows a hope, a belief, a faith, a reliance, a responsibility even. And we want to be associated with the people that we trust and that we have a common bond to, or that we have a connection with. And in order for us to have a true relationship with one another, we must trust them. Trusting normally means that you have something invested in someone else, doesn't it? If you don't have anything invested, then there's really not big need for any trust, is there? And in this fast-paced world that we live in today, it becomes more and more difficult to attain that instant gratification type of feeling from our daily interactions with people because we don't really have an open conversation with them. Are we willing to slow down that pace? Are we willing to invest the time, the effort, and yes, even love, to develop the kind of relationship that will characterize us to the world outside as a group of believers? Isn't that what God's Word tells us? That we should be known by the ones outside, by others, through our love. Well, how do we develop these relationships with brothers and sisters? I know for me, trust is a biggie. It's something that I have to have in a person before I'm going to be comfortable opening up to them. And sometimes getting started with just a simple conversation is the hardest part. Because that means talking, listening, and even getting a personal desire to know that person a little better. It even might mean a time commitment. Heaven forbid. It might mean something that we've got to commit some of our time to that person in order to get to know them. And our lives are so busy now that we just find this hard to do, don't we? But investing time and effort in common interest can and normally does result in a friendship or a trust. Why do you trust God? We have His Word. But why do you trust Him? Have you ever really thought about what made me begin to trust God? How much time do you spend talking with Him? How much time do you spend listening to what He has to say? How much time do we spend reading His Word? I read a little footnote in the Daily Bread this last week. I don't know how many of you read that, but I love those little footnotes down at the bottom. And the footnote that I read this week, it just really spoke volumes to me, and it says something like this. It says, God speaks through His Word when we take the time to listen. You know, as the Spirit actually worked in my life this last week and kind of placed this subject matter in my mind, I was afraid. I says, God, I don't know that I can do this because I don't know that I can go through and find Scripture that will back what I want to say. So I got my Bible out and I opened it up and I went to Genesis 1. And as I read Genesis 1, I just looked at the first few verses. And if I can get through all the notes here, it's really quite unique in what it says. Genesis 1 and 2 speaks about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and on down through. But when we look at verses 3, and then we kind of follow on down, what does it say? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be expanse. And God said, let the waters. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God's, get the point? God's talking to us. We just have to listen. You know, He shows Himself throughout creation. He spoke to the prophets. He speaks to His people. He speaks to us through the Bible. And He even tells us to share what we learned. Tells us to share His Word with others. Share the gospel. But He also warns us. He warns us how powerful the tongue and how powerful words can actually be, doesn't He? If you go to James chapter 3, He compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship. Pretty small device, the rudder. But it sure does wonders with the rest of the ship, doesn't it? It points it in the direction it wants it to go. It's the same way with our tongue. James 3:2 says, if we control the tongue always, we could be a perfect person. Well, I don't think that's going to happen to any of us, because I know it's not going to happen to me. Even when we think that we've done what's right, what we've done proper, we learn there are reasons for the instructions that God gives us. Picking and choosing the parts that we want to do doesn't really work very well. I know I had a situation that happened in my life that I'll share with you, where I tried to do this. Several years ago, it was said by a church leader here in our church, something that really hurt me a great deal. My way of dealing with that was to pray about it and to ask God to forgive me. And God tells me, He says, you need to not only for me to forgive you, but you need to forgive the person. So I kept praying, kept asking, till I felt like I had it under control. So then I took on the forgiving part. And yeah, I'd forgive this man. But every time I saw him, it just was a big rush that all came back into me and I had to start all over again. Well, there was a long time went by, and finally I was having a conversation with a pastor. And that pastor told me that I needed to go to that guy and ask for his forgiveness. Ouch. Well, trying to worm out of it a little bit, I told the pastor, I says, I really don't think that would work too well. I says, it's been such a long time ago, I think he's probably ever forgotten all about it. Pastor looked me in the eye and he says, yeah, maybe he has. But the reality of the situation is, you haven't. You remember it, therefore, you need to ask for his forgiveness. Well, I put it off as long as I could because I am that way. But finally, I called the man and I says, I need to meet, need to talk with you. So over a cup of coffee and a little donut or two, I told the man what the problem was and I asked for his forgiveness. Sure enough, he didn't even remember it happened. But as we talked a little more about it, he did remember a little more. And he says, but why should I forgive you? I'm the one that should be asking for forgiveness. And I says, because of my thoughts that and my bad things that I have thought about you, I ask for your forgiveness. And he gave it to me. And you know, up until the time I started to write this message down here, I hadn't even thought about that situation. And yet it is something that happened in my life that taught me I don't get to just pick and choose which portions of God's scripture I choose to obey. I have to complete the project. I have to complete the deal. And I can honestly say that right now today, I call this friend a brother. And we have a great time that we can spend together. I want to tell you another story. This is one that I read on Facebook. And we know Facebook. It's got to be true, right? It's posted out there on social media. Some of you probably heard it, but I ask that you'd bear with me just a little bit. This is a story about Forrest Gump and his encounter with St. Peter at the Pearly Gates. You remember Forrest Gump, you know, life is just a big bowl of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I like that line. But on with the story here. Forrest has died and he goes to heaven. And he comes up to the Pearly Gates and there stands St. Peter. St. Peter looks at Forrest and says, Forrest, he says, glad you're here. He says, but we have an entrance exam you need to take. He says, it's just three short little questions. He says, and I'm going to give you the questions and give you time to think about your answers. Forrest says, well, he says, this is not exactly what I remember learning about entering the Pearly Gates, but okay, if you say so. What are your questions? And he says, number one, question number one. Name 2 days of the week that start with the letter T. Question number two. Give me the number of seconds in a year. And question number three, what's God's first name? Well, Forrest kind of looks around. He says, see you in the morning. So Forrest walks away. St. Peter walks back into the gates. First thing in the morning, St. Peter's back out there, and here comes Forrest. Forrest, do you have your answers? Forrest says, yes, I do. He says, what are they? He says, well, he says, first of all, he says, name 2 days of the week to start with the letter T. Today and tomorrow. St. Peter says, well, that wasn't exactly the answers that I was expecting. He says, but they're not wrong, so I guess I'll have to give you credit for that one. He says, St. Peter looks over and he says, all right, give me the number of seconds in a year. Forrest looks up and he says, 24. St. Peter says, 24? How in the world did you ever come up with that? He says, simple. January the 2nd, January the 22nd, February the 2nd, February the 22nd, March the 2nd. Got it. I understand where you're coming from. He says, here again. He says, maybe I didn't make myself completely clear on the question. He says, but I have to give you credit for it. He says, the final question. What's God's first name? Forrest he stands back and he says, that's the easiest one of them at all. Peter says, yeah. He says, how's that? And he says, it's Andy. And Peter says, Andy, how do you know that? He says, well, we've done it all the time in church. He says, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own. St. Peter kind of looks at Forrest. He turns around and he looks, kind of shrugs his shoulders, and the gates start to open. St. Peter says, run, Forrest, run. You know, none of these answers were what was expected, were they? But none of them were really wrong, except maybe the last one. But the point is that I was looking at as I read this story was, St. Peter could have written Forrest off with the very first answer, couldn't he? But he didn't. Instead, he listened, he found the right in the answer, and he didn't try to fit him into a correct answer box. And that's what we have to do as we talk and we visit with believers and with our buddies and with our friends and with all of our sisters and brothers here. Talking and listening can be the beginning of a long relationship, but it takes time. Are you willing to make that time for one another? You know, isn't this exactly what Paul did throughout his teaching? Not only did he help them start churches, but he continued to work with them through his communications. He had people go with him. He had people that he mentored. He had them with him daily. His genuine love for that fellow man, for those fellow believers, was conveyed through his actions and through his, as well as through his words. Reading your Bible will show you exactly what God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and all the apostles were doing. They were doing just exactly this. They were walking, they were talking, they were teaching the gospel. They were making friends with believers. They were developing trust through these believers. And they were then sending them out to do the same thing. Bible instructs us and tells us that it is up to us to continue this God-created bond of love between believers. And we're to pass it on to generations to come. As we think about these things, You know, I think about our time that we spend here in church and the time that we spend talking to one another. Do we really show care? Do we really show interest? Should we really show care? Should we really show interest? I think so. I hope so. I hope that we can get to know each other in a very loving manner. Get to trust each other. If the worship team wants to come on up, I want to invite you this morning to join us in remembering Christ's sanctified body, represented here by the bread, by the juice. God's gift of His Son to us. So as the worship team plays, if you would come forward and join us in communion, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. I thank you this morning for being here. I hope God blesses each and every one of you. I challenge you to talk. I know you're getting out of here a little early. Enjoy your summer. Because next week, Pastor will be back. Have a great day. Have a great week.